behind the net. Predators pass the puck to Philip Forsberg. Out left wing side. Took a long bounce into the jet zone. Turned back over at center. Roman Josi. Now here's O'Reilly. He scores! Ryan O'Reilly scores on the pass from Roman Josi. It's all tied up.
Ryan O'Reilly scores at the end of the third period to tie it up 3-3, and that's all that they needed. Because we can start with the bad news, and the bad news is the Predators did in fact lose last night. But the good news is it didn't matter. They got it to overtime, and they got 1 point, and that is all that the Predators needed to clinch. The Predators officially are headed to the playoffs. X by the Nashville Predators' name. They do fall 4-3, but in overtime. And that's all that mattered, really. D. Mace, how we doing? Happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday. Remind me of Beverly Hills Cops. The boys are back in town. The Nashville Predators are back in the playoffs. Woohoo! I mean, great. I mean, they went down 3-1 early. I'm like, oh my goodness, we may have to wait another game to see them clinch this point.
3-1. Exactly. A 3-1 that didn't need to be 3-1.
Exactly. But then they hunkered down and, you know, they played good hockey. I'm surprised they didn't have more goals as many times as they put the puck on the net. Mm-hmm. It basically ended up being 2-1 as far as shots on net.
They dominated them.
Oh my goodness.
They kicked the you know what out of the Jets for the most part. They had a bad
first
6 minutes.
Yeah,
but it wasn't the first period. They still had more shots,
mm-hmm. scored first,
more scoring chances.
Exactly.
Got the first goal. They just had a lull for this 6 minutes where it's like what they got three. Like how did that happen? But the rest of the game really was all Predators.
Yes,
all Predators. Mm-hmm. That's the most encouraging thing to me that came out of the game is Winnipeg had everybody. Right, they couldn't sit there and go, oh, we had this guy out, we're resting this guy. They put their whole lineup out there. They could not hang, except for their goalie.
Yeah.
Connor Hellebuyck is a heck of a goalie.
Hellebuyck is hell of a
captain.
Good.
He's hella good. He is.
Exactly.
He really is. He's going to win the Vezina.
Yeah.
And he'll deserve it. Mm-hmm. But I think that is, even though they lost the game, it was kind of like Rocky to me. Like you walk out of there. They got the point that they needed, and you just have this feeling of bring on whoever you're going to play in the first round. Winnipeg is as good as anybody, I think. You know, maybe you could argue Dallas is a little bit better or Colorado's a little more explosive or Vancouver's got a lot. Regardless of who it is, this Predator team can play with anybody. I think they believe it. You could tell they believe it. They're down 3-1. And as the game's going on, you're just sensing they're not satisfied just saying, well, you know, we'll get them Friday. We'll just beat the Blackhawks Friday. And if we don't beat the Blackhawks Friday, we'll beat the Blue Jackets on Saturday. They didn't have that mindset. They were like, no, we're coming back in this game. I don't care how good Hellebuyck is. We're going to find a way to get back in this game. And the crowd sensed it. The crowd is really – they're realizing – what's going on, you know, how good this team is. That's what the special thing is about what's happening right now to me.
It had very similar feelings to me to the Vegas game.
Yep.
When it could have been so easy for the Predators to just roll over and say, look, we're on a 17-game point streak. It's not our night. It's the defending Stanley Cup champions. We're still in a good place. You know, we'll just go ahead and we'll wave the white flag and we'll move on to the next game. They could have done that easily.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that either Andrew Burnett or Barry Trotz, maybe both even touched on. Like, look, it could have been so easy for them to say, you know, we'll concede and we'll move on to the next game. But they didn't. They were determined to come back and they won that game. And it was the same feeling last night. That you're down 3-1 in a costly Philip Forsberg turnover, and they could have said, look, we're going against one of the best goalies, if not the best goalie in the planet. You know, we're peppering the net with shots, 48 shots last night, which that's becoming more of the rule rather than the exception of like a 40-45-plus shot night, which is incredibly fun to watch. But they could have said, look, it's just not our night. We're going up against a great goaltender and a really good team. And, yeah, like you said, Willie, we got Chicago on Friday. We'll win that game. We'll clinch on Friday. but there is a sense of relentlessness. And I do think that that's kind of become kind of the trademark of this team and of this franchise for this season is this relentlessness, this buy-in, the fact that you can never quite shake this Predators team. It's like a gnat that just keeps flying around. You just can't seem to get rid of it. Every time you try and swat it away, every single time that any opposing team tries to swallow this Predators team, they just come back. And they just continue to play harder and continue to play faster and continue to just kind of eat away at whatever deficit that they might be in. And I think that's an overarching statement of the Predators' play the last month to 2 months. But last night was a microcosm of that. That these this Predators team is not going anywhere. Down 3-1, they're not going anywhere. And I think that they played much better than the final score would indicate. They played much better throughout the game than a 3-1 deficit. And you saw that final result come to fruition. And I think that last night was also a microcosm of what Ryan O'Reilly has been giving you. That he is so clutch. And he comes up in the biggest moments. In a had-to-have-it moment last night, who found the net? Ryan O'Reilly. Who got you to overtime to pick up that single point to be able to clinch and get you to the playoffs? It was Ryan O'Reilly. And I think that you can – there's several players that we could highlight from last night. Luke Evangelista continues to play his butt off. He's playing the best hockey that I've ever seen him play. I think last night was probably up there with one of the better games I've seen him play in a Predators uniform. Spencer Stastny, I think, continues to play really well and very encouraging hockey. So overall, just – you know, I understand that they lost last night. But looking at this team as a whole, looking at the last couple of seasons and looking at last night, this team's special.
Yeah, they are, you know, and I think they're just now, and we said this before about this team, you know, they finally have figured it out. They know, you know, how to play within this system. Listening to Barry yesterday on when he was on with Jared, he just talked about some of those things, like we know who we are as a team. We know this is how we play each and every game. We may win some. We may lose, you know, we may lose some, but this is the standard of play that we, you know, that we put on the ice, you know, ice just about every other day. And like you said, yesterday was just a microcosm of that, being down 3-1 and then really kicking it in and really showing your dominance or exerting your dominance over this team. They got a hell of a goalie, but you found ways to put the puck inside the net. So, and kudos to them, and hopefully they can continue to play this way. I am sort of a little bit concerned.
The starts?
Yeah, the starts are a little bit concerning because you can't do that in the playoffs. You're not playing teams that you know. You at least the first round, you're playing against. You're going to be playing against one of the top two teams in the Western Conference. So, you know, you can't. You got to figure out a way not to have those spells within games. You had it against Arizona. You had it last night. You had it, you know, against Colorado. These spells where, for whatever reason, you're not playing the way that you should be playing or the way that you're accustomed to playing. So that's the one thing that worries me. But beside that, I mean, UC's playing excellent in the net. You're getting scoring from all four lines. And this team just seems like they're picking up. They're gaining more and more confidence as they play.
Yeah, I think that's the prevailing thing. Now we can have the discussion that we were having. You know, we were wanting to have and sort of having, but now with the X next to your name, you can now decide, all right, you got three games to go. How much are you pushing to win these last three games and hold on to wild card one? Because it's looking more and more clear now that if they can hold wild card one, it will be Vancouver. If they slip to wild card two, in other words, they finish behind the fourth place team in the Pacific. That's what it's amounting to, right? You have Vegas and Los Angeles. Los Angeles lost to Anaheim last night. That was a tough loss for them. Vegas has got a big game with Edmonton coming up, but Connor McDavid is banged up a little bit at Edmonton now that it's looking unlikely that they will catch Vancouver. They might rest McDavid. So you might get a chance to play the Oilers without McDavid if you're Vegas. But Nashville has to finish ahead of the other one, right? Somebody's going to either Vegas or Los Angeles will be third in the Pacific. That takes them out. So then you take whoever's left over. Does Nashville finish ahead of that team? Mm-hmm. So how much do you push, or how much do you maybe rest some guys? That's what they have to sort of talk about today. You know, it starts with Saros. Like, how many do you let Lankinen play all three of the last games, or two of the three, or just one of the three? You get back-to-back. He's going to play one of the three. But how do you want to have Saros ready for game one? They end Monday. Mm-hmm. They can't start before Saturday, and they may not start until Sunday or Monday, right? So there's going to be plenty of rest after game 82. So these are all the things they can now start to plan now that they know they're in.
I would say, you know, you play the starters the next game, and then you sort of back off a little bit, knowing that, you know, for one, the travel, if you do have to go and it's not Dallas and you do have to make that travel, it's good that you get basically after the last game of the season, you get, what, 4 or 5 days off before the playoffs start. So how much rest is too much rest?
That's another good question. How much rest is too much? Fill those days.
Exactly.
You know, do you have like an inter-squad scrimmage almost to try to stay sharp?
You got to have something just to keep the guys engaged.
You got to stay sharp somehow.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's a delicate balance if you want fresh legs going into the playoffs, but also we saw this team look coming out of the All-Star break. Look too ready.
It's always a challenge for every team, I think, is if you get into that situation. So that these are all good questions, and these are all fun questions because you know you're in this tournament. And we should stop for just a moment. When they were, first of all, before the season, this is why I loved what the crowd was all about last night. You could just feel it. They've fallen in love with this team.
Yeah.
And even though John Hines and those teams in the post-Peter Laviolette, the post-Stanley Cup playoffs, like there was the Stanley Cup run in 2017, which, you know, everybody's going bananas, crazy. You know, that hit new heights that still, it still blows your mind today. Then the following year, they were a better team. They were just a flat-out better team from start to finish. The President's Trophy-winning team. Mm-hmm. Number one overall seed. And then they lost a really tough Game 7 to Winnipeg in the second round. That series could have gone either way. There's so many what-ifs in that series. But then that begins the frustration, right, of, oh, we got to get back there. Oh, we want it. We could taste it. This team should win it. They won the division the next year, but they weren't quite as good. Mm-hmm. Then they lost in the first round. Like, oh, what's going on? And then the pandemic and then the coaching change. And I think the fans got frustrated, right? The fans were like, what happened to the – wait, I don't want to lose in the first round.
That was so fun, what we had.
Yeah.
We just – capture that lightning in a bottle again.
And I don't want to say they fell out of love with the team. The reason they care so much is because they love the team. But there was frustration. There was, I don't know. But now you can just really sense the belief and it's re-energized. Mm-hmm. That's what's great. And before the season, I didn't know what to expect. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody knew what to expect. Most of the Greg Wyshynski, to his credit, did say, okay, I got receipts. I did say the Predators would make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And kudos to him, right? But he knows. He's one of the few that actually did predict they would go to the playoffs before. But then that would challenge people. What were your thoughts on November 18th when they were getting ready to play the Blackhawks? Mm-hmm. And you look at the bottom of the overall standings, it was Predators, 5 wins, 10 losses. Blackhawks, 5 wins, 9 losses, 5 wins, 10 losses. Yeah. They were at the bottom. They were the bottom two teams. And where they've come from that. And I just, all the arguments we've had, and arguments out of love, right? Mm-hmm. Willie, what's the plan? All that stuff. And people would say, you got to blow it up. Blow it up. There's the only way you can win it is you got to be bad. You got to get the first pick. You got to rebuild. Just think about all the special moments, regardless of what happens from here, right? This has been a fun season, a fun team. You don't get that when you break it down. What's the most fun a Blackhawks fan has had this year?
Connor Bedard.
That's all you got.
That's all you got.
And I don't think he missed several weeks, mm-hmm. and there's been a lot of nights where even he can't do anything for him. It's been miserable. And it's been a long time. So 9 out of 10 years making the playoffs. It's just something you should not take for granted. And these memories that you get when you walked out of that building last night, even though they lost, I guarantee you people were saying, wow, that was a heck of a sporting event.
That was special. Right? Mm-hmm.
So you get that. You get that when you don't rebuild, and you get that with smart maneuvering where you don't just say, hey, you know, we need to be bad for 4 or 5 years. And then maybe we'll just draft high, and hopefully over time we'll just build back a good team. There's a lot of ways it can go wrong if you do that, and you sacrifice 4 or 5 years, whatever it takes, of fun, right? Tanking doesn't always work, and it's a big price to pay.
And I'm glad that you bring that up, kind of how we've gotten to this point over the last few years. Because I wasn't here in 17 and 18, but, man, do I feel like I was. Just the amount of times that we've talked about it, the amount of times that we've heard, that I've heard callers and texters and listeners and Predators fans talking about how special and electrifying and just, you know, how special the city felt. It was on fire at that point in the 17 and 18 seasons. This is the third trip to the playoffs that the Predators have made since I've gotten here. In 2021, and they turned things around late in the season, and they went on that winning streak in the month of March, and they found themselves in the playoffs. And even though they made the series against Carolina really interesting, and it was, you know, just coming off of COVID, so this was the first time that Bridgestone Arena really got to be packed for the first time in a while, it felt really fun and really exciting, but I don't think anyone really expected the Predators to beat the Hurricanes. Yeah.
They were big underdogs. Yes.
Big underdogs. It was fun, but everybody knew, okay, this was fun while it lasted, but, you know, let's move on to the next season. 2022 against Colorado, it felt over before it started. It felt like I was at game 4 in Nashville, and, you know, you're down 3 games. Soros is hurt. It felt like a Tuesday night in November at Bridgestone Arena. It honestly kind of felt a little bit depressing.
That wasn't a
playoff environment. And, of course, the Predators missed the playoffs last year. But this is the first year that I've been here in Nashville that I feel like there is real hope with this Predators team as they enter the playoffs, that there is a real feeling of confidence and excitement about the fan base for this team, of what they can do. And even if the Predators do get bounced in the playoffs, if they have a competitive series against Dallas or Vancouver, or whoever it ends up being, even if it is a first-round exit, I feel like we all and all of the Predators fans are going into the playoffs with a sense of hope and excitement for the future. That's the first time I've felt that since I've been here. It feels different, and it feels like you're on the precipice of something really great. But how did we get here throughout the season? Because it wasn't very long ago we were talking about trading UC Soros. We were talking about, you know,
think about that.
Mm-hmm. Predators fans are so confused.
How low. Clearly, people wanted
D-Base
to stoop.
Was the one all throughout. Exactly. Said, do not tell me about trading UC Soros. I don't want
to
hear it.
I mean, now you look like a genius, D-Base. But, you know, and go back to signing Ryan O'Reilly and Gus Nyquist, fans were like, I don't get it. Why sign old guys?
What are they doing? What
are they doing? So, how did
mushy
we get...
Mushy middle. You don't want to be in the mushy middle.
Exactly. We were tired of this. We're tired of being just good enough to get in, but not good enough to make some noise. So how did we get here? It hasn't been very long since we were having those conversations. Barry Trotz answered that question when he was on with Stillman and Company, on with Jared and Stillman and Company yesterday. How did we get to this point? This was Barry Trotz.
Why did it happen? Why did this team come together? Why did this team go on the run that it had? Why is this team as competitive as it is when you were preparing us for the possibility that it might not be? And what do you attribute that to?
I think what it is a couple of factors. You've got good coaching, you've got good leadership, and you've got good culture. And then those three things were brought together with a common focus. We became a pretty good hockey team.
He makes it sound very easy. You know, mm-hmm. Good coaching, good leadership, good culture. Sounds easy, right? Mm-hmm. It's a lot more difficult to do than it is to say. So I have to give Barry Trotz a lot of credit because it was his vision of the culture and him executing, getting the right players into this locker room to build that culture. I have to give a lot of credit to Andrew Brunette, what he inherited, what he came into, and what he's been able to turn around. And I have to give a lot of credit to the leaders in that locker room and the young guys in the locker room. buying in to what the culture is, buying into what this team can do. It's really hard, I think, to do what the Predators have done, to start where they were, to make the turnaround that they had when there really were no expectations for this team, and now they find themselves in the playoffs. It's a massive credit from top to bottom.
Yeah, it is. I'm sure they had their own expectations, you know, but their expectations probably were a little bit different from our expectations, and I'm meaning the fans, because they're looking at this team and they're seeing the transition and the moves that were made last season, toward the end of last season, and they just probably thought, listen, you know, if as long as we don't finish at the bottom, I mean, you know, we're not making the playoffs, let's make some moves to get some guys in here, let's relieve ourselves of some, you know, some salary in regards to trading away players. But this team thought different, as a lot of other, as a lot of teams do think. Regardless of what the locker room looked like, every team, each and every year at the beginning of the season, they feel they have a chance. Regardless of how their the locker room looks with players, they feel they have a chance. And I'm sure that's the way Nashville felt. But I think it started even before that. This was a collaborative effort. I mean, this was like from organization-wise. This was organizational cooperation, and it didn't start this season. It started last season toward the end when you started to see Barry more involved in what was going on toward the end of last season. David could have been like, listen, I'm just going to do it my way, and when you get your hands on this team next season, you can do it your way. But he didn't. That was a collaborative effort. The moves that they made toward the end of last year, I think it was a collaborative effort between David Poile and Barry Trotz to make sure he has a, at least he can hit the ground running. He hit the ground running. He had already made the moves that he was going to make. He made a few more, but he set the team up last year to have success this season. He didn't wait until the end of last season or the beginning of this season. They started last year. So this was a collaborative effort amongst the organization. And I'm talking David Poile. I'm not even talking just Barry and Coach Bruno. It was everybody, because they're at this point because of what they did toward the end of last season that afforded them the opportunity to be in a position that they're in now. At least that's how I believe.
That's a good point. Laid the foundation.
Yeah, and I think he did it without costing them mm-hmm. the future, which is still the goal, is as Ryan O'Reilly and Gus Nyquist and even guys like Forsberg and Yossi start to age a little bit, that you have that next mm-hmm. wave coming up. That's the critical part of this long term. And so in doing all this, he didn't sacrifice the long term. That's mm-hmm. another thing that I think David Poile, it was great to see him last night. He was there. He deserves to share in the moment live, right?
Absolutely.
He stayed in the background, right? More than he ever has, obviously, before. He's always been the GM, but you know, he's kind of chosen mm-hmm. not to sort of hover over everything, which is really classy. But I love that he was there last night, because he could have mm-hmm. said, hey, this is my last kick at the can. I can throw all the future assets. Who cares about the future? I'm out of here in a couple of years. But no, he set the table for Barry Trotz. And they have held on. All those trades they made last year, a lot of them, they haven't even used the picks yet. Like yeah. Tanner Janot, who hasn't really lit it up for the Lightning. They still have the Lightning's. Yeah, that's right. They have the Lightning's first round pick, not this coming summer, but next summer. Like, they still haven't used that. So they're going to have assets going forward. They haven't traded any of their first-round picks. You know, what, a fifth-rounder and a sixth-rounder to get Beauvillier and Zucker. Mm-hmm. The only real short-term price they paid was the buyout of Duchesne and the, you know, I'll give you Johansson for half price. And they're going to have to take a little chunk out of their salary cap the next couple years. That's the only thing that was a step backward. Everything else they've done is advance the team and with an eye on the big picture, with assets and prospects and all that stuff. All those guys in Milwaukee are just getting more and more experience and getting a little more maturity under their belt.
And when have you ever said, man, I miss Matt Duchesne? Frankly, I have not said that once. I have not said that once this season. All right, that is how we're starting. The Predators clinched the playoffs last night. This is the happiest I think we will ever be after a loss Because it wasn't a loss. It was a loss, but you still clinch. So that's where we're starting. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Want to get your reaction to Predators clinching the playoffs. Know where the team goes next. Do you play the veterans? Do you rest the veterans? What's the perfect balance there? Your reaction to the Predators making the playoffs considering where this team started. And plus, coming up next, what Barry Trotz thinks is this team's greatest advantage as we head into the playoffs. We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace. We're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. Glorious. No, I won't give in. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays for broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Probably the most exciting loss in recent history, because Predators do in fact lose last night in overtime, but it is an overtime, and that's all that mattered. All the Predators needed was one single overtime point to clinch. And they got it. Predators fall to the Winnipeg Jets 4-3 last night, but they are, in fact, headed to the playoffs. Even though a couple of months ago we were talking about trading the goalie and selling at the deadline, even though at the beginning of the season, Barry Trotz said, be patient with us. It's going to be a process. Predators find themselves back in the playoffs, 9 trips to the playoffs in the last 10 years. I do want to get into what Barry Trotz said about what he thinks is the team's greatest advantage as they head into the playoffs. But first, I want to get into your reaction, your thoughts on the Predators clinching the playoffs, where they go from here, your expectations as we get into the playoffs. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you want to get in on the conversation. Adam in Portland is on the line. What's up, Adam?
Hey, Caroline. So you could look at it two ways. Like, you could look at it like, what did you think coming into the season that this team was going to do? But I also look at it like, and I know you used to talk about it a lot on your old show, like, what is this team and what is the expectation of the team? And that they are a perennial playoff team. Like, they are supposed to be in the playoffs. It's the same reason that Kelly Harper is not the Vols, Lady Vols coach anymore. It's the same reason Cal's not in Kentucky anymore. Like, there's certain expectations for these places that weren't being met. And the Preds, while they were struggling, what have we learned about them? They are crazy streaky, like super ability to go on the biggest streak ever. They're also able to lose 4 or 5, which gets you eliminated in the first round. So I don't know what to make of it. I don't think it's good enough just to get there. I think you have to be competitive and probably win a series to call it a good year. Like, honestly, like, that's what 18 games did to me. It raised the bar. It raised it back up. So I don't think just getting there is enough.
Touche. Thank you for your call.
Thank
Adam.
You, Adam.
What do we think about it? To call it a successful season, Predators have to get to the second round of the playoffs.
No, at least for me, that's not the case. This team, they got into the playoffs. They played some really good hockey toward the latter part, the second half of the season. Did the first half of the season start off, you know, not ideal? Absolutely. But the second half of the season, they picked it up. Them going on an 18-point, streak didn't make me think, oh, if they don't make it out of the first round, then it's a disappointment because of what I saw. No, it's like this team fought, and they finally figured it out amongst the team. They fought to get in the playoffs. They're in the playoffs. Anything now is gravy. Do I want them to go far in the playoffs? Absolutely, yes. But you can't say that it's a disappointment for a team that many didn't even pick to make the playoffs. This was sort of that quasi-rebuild season sort of for the Predators in many eyes. But they quickly, got rid of that moniker, so to speak, of starting over. And they played good hockey in the second round, but it doesn't make me think, oh, now they have to get past the first round in order for this season to be a success. This season has been the regular season. They had a successful regular season. Now can they have a successful playoff season? Because this is the second season. Well, this is the third season. The first season was the first half of the year. They didn't do well. Second season, they did really well. This is the third season for them. It starts new again. Now what can they do in the playoffs?
They're going to play. Now the odds are pretty overwhelming. Either Vancouver or Dallas. Those are the two best teams, mm-hmm, point-wise, in the West. I don't know that people would put Vancouver as the best team on paper, but they, like the Predators, have been a bit of a surprise of where they are.
Yeah.
So the Predators are going to be an underdog against either one. So you're saying you have to pull an upset in the first round to have a successful season? I don't think that all adds up. There's going to be a lot of really good teams that lose in the first round. That's just the way it works. If you look, let's just take, for example, the Florida Panthers, the defending Eastern Conference champions, are going to play the Maple Leafs in the first round. Those are two really good teams. One of them is going to lose in the first round. Mm-hmm. You've got Winnipeg is going to play Colorado in the first round. Those are two tremendous teams. Mm-hmm. One of them is going to lose in the first round. So this is how it works. I think what I feel is, I feel like this Predator team, knock on wood, let's just hope they can take this group in, because Saros getting hurt right before the first round against the Avalanche, that skewed, that kind of eliminated any hope there. But hope is a key word, because even with Saros, they would have gone in as a big underdog against a juggernaut Avalanche team, where you felt like it would be a huge upset just to win the first round.
Yeah.
They're going to be an underdog, but I feel like they've got the tools and the ingredients that they're bringing to the table that they haven't had probably since 2019, you know, in the first round of a playoff series. And in 2019, they just flat out got beat. But I thought they were a good enough team. They weren't playing great going into that series. I didn't feel quite as powerful as they had the year before going in, where you felt like this is a team that could win the whole thing. But this team is coming on. I had a discussion with my son earlier. He was like, how good do you think this team is compared to 2017? Right? Because 2017, they were the eighth seed. They were the second wild card. But I felt like that team had the tools to make a run in the playoffs. But maybe I was in the minority. And I looked at this team this year as not as good as that 2017 team. But now the more I watch them, the more I see them play together, I don't necessarily think they're taking a back seat to that team. I think it's comparable. So all that to say, it's a complicated thing that he's bringing up there, because it's so hard to win in the playoffs. But his expectations have changed from the beginning of the season. I think that's a big feather in Barry Trotz's cap, that he's raised the bar.
And your expectations should change throughout the season, frankly. If you have Stanley Cup expectations at the beginning of the season, and then, you know, you have several key players get hurt, and who you thought was going to be great isn't great, well, your expectations change. So it's fair that your expectations for the Predators changed after they went on a historic run. I get it. But to say that the season is not a success if you don't get to the second round of the playoffs, I think is a little bit too black and white. I think it's a little bit too short-sighted. I think you need to add a little bit of nuance and a little bit of context there. Because I don't think that all first-round exits are created equally. Let's say the Predators get Dallas, because there's a very high likelihood that they will play Dallas. Mm-hmm. There's also a very high likelihood that the Dallas Stars win the President's Trophy. The Dallas Stars are looking like one of the best teams in the National Hockey League. If the Predators lose in a very competitive 7-game series to the Dallas Stars, and the Stars end up going to the Stanley Cup Final, are you going to say you're unsatisfied? Are you going to say that was an unsuccessful season because you lost in 7 to one of the best teams, if not the best team in the NHL? I don't think that's fair. Now, that's not, you know, if the Predators go out and, you know, roll over and poop their pants and lose in 4 and get swept and it's not even close, that's a completely different conversation of how'd you go from an 18-game point streak to beating some of the best teams in the NHL and looking pretty darn good doing it to all of a sudden now you can't win in the playoffs. Two completely different discussions and two completely different feelings if those two things end up shaking out, although the result is the same. Although the result is still a first-round exit.
Mm-hmm. They had a good – they're having a good season. It's a good season because they put themselves in a position to make the playoffs. They're in the playoffs. So any team that's in the playoffs, it's a good season. Now, you know, some teams probably were picked to have better records, but they didn't, but they still end up getting in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. You got in. That's the success, because it's hard to get in the playoffs. And the Nashville Predators fought their tails off to get the position themselves to get in the playoffs. Now, the playoffs, to Adams to what he was saying, disappointment or not, the playoffs is a whole different season. The playoffs is separate from the regular season because we've seen teams win the President's Trophy and get put out in the first round.
Yep. Saw it last year.
You know, we've seen teams that win the President's Trophy and don't make it to the Stanley Cup. We've seen teams that barely get in and they end up going on a roll. You know, Nashville Predators, 2017, when they got in, they went on a roll. So to me, the playoffs is a different season. Now, if you want to, you know, say if, you know, if they don't go far in the playoffs, okay, but that's a whole different season. My expectations for the Nashville Predators were, listen, if they put it all together, they can make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. They put it all together, they made the playoffs. But I'm not going to sit here and say, well, if they don't get past the first round against either Dallas or Vancouver, then it's a you know, a failed season. It's not a failed season. Those are two of the top teams in your conference. It wouldn't be a failed season. But like you said, if they go out and they just get mopped and mollywopped, then we got to
right.
We need to talk about something else.
I
don't expect that to happen with either.
I think there's a feeling that that's not going to happen, uh-huh. But anything can happen. We know sports. But if they had loaded up, because let's be brutally honest here, other than Spencer Stastny and Luke Evangelista, who are both rookies, mm-hmm. the it's not really a youth movement what they've done, right? They're setting the example for a wave of players that's coming up through Milwaukee, but those guys haven't been the reason that they are here. It's really O'Reilly and Nyquist and great seasons from your star players, mm-hmm. Josi and Forsberg, and then great stories on the bottom of the roster like Sherwood, who was awesome last night, McCarron, Cole Smith, mm-hmm. Mark Jankowski. Those guys have played great roles. Tommy Novak is a nice, good story too.
27 years old?
Yeah, he's a little 26, older 27? than a lot of the, you know, he's an old young player. Like he's not a lot of games under his belt, but he's not exactly young. But if they had loaded up and you were like, this is the last kick at the can for a veteran team and what happens next year, then I would be disappointed if they go out in the first round. But you feel like, okay, they still have this group and nucleus that can grow together for the next couple years. So this isn't just like a one-year mm-hmm. fix-it kind of thing. It's a first year in hopefully a process of the next few years being stuff where you can get excited going into a season. Like next year, I would hope that there's more than a few people picking the Predators to make the playoffs because they have raised the bar.
And they're going to be underdogs no matter who they play in the playoffs. But Barry Trotz feels like they have an advantage. We'll get into that coming up next. Plus, we've got a bunch of phones, so we are right to you coming up next as well. Caroline Willie D. Mace, hey, score big this spring with Lee Company and the Nashville Predators in the 10K Power Play giveaway. Enter for a chance to win a Kohler home generator or $10,000 toward Lee Company Home Services. That's right, a Kohler home generator or $10,000 toward Lee Company Home Services. Go online to leecompany.com/giveaway to enter. That's leecompany.com/giveaway. In the 10K Power Play giveaway. Contest entries are accepted until Saturday, April 20th. Lee Company, all you need.
I think we have a good chance because of the fact that every night we play, we've been playing playoff hockey. And when it comes to it, there's no pressure on us. I mean, if I'm whoever's playing us, all the pressure's on them. I'm not saying that just to be coy or to start the playoff talk already, but it's true. No one expected us to be here except us. And, you know, we're probably not going to be a favorite in the series or any series we play. So, you know, let's play free. Let's play with no pressure and let's go after someone.
That was Barry Trotz on Stillman & Company yesterday. Caroline Willie D. Mays, 102.5-106.3 of the game. Also, just a quick programming note, we'll hear from Brian Callahan, Titans head coach. He will host a press conference at 12:15. And previewing the draft, looking ahead to the offseason programs, we'll hear from Brian Callahan, offensive coordinator Nick Holtz, and defensive coordinator Denard Wilson. So we will carry those press conferences live and in their entireties. Jonathan Hutton will join us at 1 p.m. Well, we always, at least I always call Barry OBB, open book Barry, that he'll probably tell you things that a lot of other general managers or coaches won't. hearing that there from Barry, you don't hear every general manager say, look, we're going into this with no pressure. We feel like we could be playing with house money. If we play Vancouver, they've got pressure. If we play Dallas, they've got pressure to get to the second round of the playoffs. So Barry Trotz feels like that's in their corner, that they can go into the playoffs and play free, play without weight on their shoulders, and that plays to their strengths.
I go back to something he said in the very first press conference when they signed on the first day of free agency, Nyquist, Shen, and O'Reilly. They had some other moves that day, but those were the three big ones. And he said on that day, you know, these are serial winners, etc. And somebody said, well, you know, when you rebuild, like his big thing was like, we're going to show these young guys how it's done. We're going to set a standard. We're going to create this culture that this is how we do it. And that was what prompted the cancellation of the Las Vegas trip, ultimately. Like, we're not playing to the standard that we're setting here. We've got standards. This is the way we do it. And somebody at that press conference said, well, you know, the rebuilding and, you know, what exactly are you doing here? He goes, I didn't say we didn't want to win. So that caught my attention right there when he said, nobody believed we would make the playoffs except us. So internally, he thought that they had enough to still be competitive and get to this point, which is not easy. I think a lot of people, the misconception by some is, well, 16 teams make the playoffs, everybody makes the playoffs. That is, you want to tick Barry Trotz off and strike a chord? Throw that at him, and he will have an answer ready for you. Because it's not easy. It's not as easy as people think to make the playoffs, especially 9 out of 10 years, right? Ask Columbus. Ask Detroit. Ask, you know, you go down the list.
Chicago. Mm-hmm.
Chicago. So I think he this vision that he had, he deserves so much credit about how he did it, because he wants to set the standard for these young guys that he knows have a chance to be good. And Milwaukee's really banged up right now. They've had a bunch of injuries. That 19-game winning streak was awesome, but they've hit some bumps in the road, which is probably in the big picture good for them going through adversity. But I don't think he's jeopardized their future by doing what he's done this year. That's what I like. And there's also, because of this, you get the benefit of all the fun we've talked about. You know, you have exciting nights every time they take the ice. It's significant. It's a meaningful game. What's next? Can they win in the playoffs? And that's what he just set the table for, is the next chapter. Hey, they've got no pressure on them. Mm-hmm. They've got no pressure on them. But you've got a lot of guys in that locker room that have won a lot of playoff games. That's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah. It's refreshing, I'm sure, for a player as you're entering the playoffs. And I don't know if the guys are listening to Barry when he comes on our station with Jared. I don't know if the guys are listening to him or not, but I'm sure some of these things gets back to them. And when your GM says, the pressure's not on us, it's on them. Nobody but us expected what we see now. Mm-hmm. So why not just go out there and just play? No pressure. I'm not sitting here and evaluating guys and saying, if you don't do well in the playoffs, then you're not going to be on this team next year. No, just go out and play. I've already set the table. I've taken the pressure off. I'm the GM. I've taken the pressure off of y'all. I've taken the pressure off the head coach. Continue to coach the way you've been coaching. Continue to play the way you have been playing, players. And with that, it's almost like he's guaranteeing, like, we'll win our share of games in the playoffs. Now, will it ultimately end in winning us a series? I don't know. But we're going to win our share of playoffs. But make no mistake, the pressure's on them to beat us. It ain't the other way around. We continue to move through the playoffs. It's a great story for the NHL. It's a great story for us. But if they lose in the first round, it's a bad story for them. So they can't afford to lose in the first round. We just go out there and play. Player hears that, he's like, okay, good, great. Let me just go out there and just play the way I've been playing. Raise it up a little bit, but for the most part, just play with the confidence I've been playing with the last half of the season, and we'll be good.
And I don't think that the team's necessarily listening, but I do think that that's probably the sentiment in the locker room, because the Predators, at least it feels like whenever their backs are against the wall or they're down or whatever it might be, or they're playing against a great team or they're on the road in a difficult environment, for the most part over this stretch of the last 2 months or so, it feels like they love the pressure.
Yeah.
Or it feels like they don't even feel it at all. It kind of feels like, well, we'll just play our game. Last night is the perfect example. You're down 3-1. You need one single point. Did it ever feel like they felt overly stressed or anxious or too much pressure? They're like, Michael McCarron, big sexy, threw the gloves off, threw a couple of punches, and it was like, all right,
hold on.
Playing our game now.
Before, how can you be called big sexy but didn't want to fight all the time? who you fighting today,
I think
sexy?
We have to credit. We'll have to ask the originator of that nickname, Matt Benning. Matt Benning, who was on the Sharks now. He's been injured this year, but he was the guy that coined the phrase that just kind of caught on with the team. And now it is endorsed by his wife, Olivia.
Exactly.
She's like, okay, we're okay. Like, yeah, call him Big Sexy.
Affectionately known as Mrs. Big Sexy.
Mrs. Big Sexy. But that was a big moment last night. But that, I think, lends itself to the collective identity of the team, that relentless. Like, there is something to be said. Like, the analytics can't tell you how tight-knit the group is. But
it shows on the ice.
It shows on the ice. And when McCarron knocked him down, even if he didn't knock him down on one punch, which was pretty cool. Like, that was a big win, a lopsided win. The crowd, and then he senses this is the time to make the move. They're down 3-1. The crowd's going nuts. And then he gives it another, you know, on the way to the penalty box. Let's go. You know, it was just that authentic. Like, you can't put a price on that. Like, exactly, what is that worth? That doesn't show up on the stat sheet.
Analytics doesn't show that.
Yeah, that meant something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it you felt it. You felt, and I wasn't at the arena, but I could at least watching the game. I felt that just a flip switched. It was just like, okay, game on. We're into it.
Yep.
And I'm sure, Willie, you could attest that the crowd was probably into it as well.
Yep.
All right, coming up next, we're going to hear from Brian Callahan at 12:15. A little bit of an off-season program preview, and I expect there to be some draft questions in there as well. So we'll hear from Brian Callahan at 12:15. And coming up next, what we want to hear from Brian Callahan, what we expect to hear from Callahan, Nick Holtz, and Denard Wilson. We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace. Hey, Jason, Big Joe, have your chance to qualify to win a pair of tickets in the Eurostone Club to see Jeff Dunham this Sunday at Bridgestone Arena. This contest is brought to you by Green Trees Company, a family-owned cannabis company and dispensary providing high-quality legal THC products for anyone seeking medicine, relief, or wellness. Located in Hendersonville, a new location in West Nashville, and available online at greentreescompany.com. Tune in tomorrow between 9 and 11 a.m. for your chance to qualify to win.